Okay, we're beginning here, 11 lines down on Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara begins, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak halacha tzricha shetei machzeket rosho virubo vishulchano. The halacha with regards to a sukkah is that it must be able to contain the individual, rubo, the robe of his body, and shulchano, and his table. In order to be a kosher sukkah, all of these items have to be present. The Gemara later on will discuss that minimum standard or shiur is 7 by 7 tefachim. So Amalei Rabbi Abba Kiman, Kebet Shammai. That psak that you just gave, is that like Beit Shammai? This happens to be a machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says that you only have to be a machzeket rosho virubo in order to be kosher, whereas Beit Shammai says it has to be rosho virubo vishulchano. So it seems to be from here that Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak is paskening like Beit Shammai. So Amalei Rabbi Avo Kiman Kebeit Shammai. You're paskening like Beit Shammai Amalei Elo Kiman. Who else am I paskening like? Of course, that is it. Ika Damrei Amar Rabbi Avo Damar Lecha Amani. Who told you that the loch is this way? Amalei Beit Shammai Hi Velo Tazuz Mina. The loch is like Beit Shammai, and that's the way that I pasken. So over here, Tosafot brings from Rav Amram Gaon that there are actually 6 places in Shas where we pasken like Beit Shammai over Beit Hillel. And one of those places is over here, where Beit Paschal like Beit Shammai, not like Beit Hillel. So Matkiv Lov Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mimai, the Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, B'sukkah Ktana Plige. Who says that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel really argue about the minimum shear of a sukkah? Dilma B'sukkah Gdola Plige. Maybe they're arguing about a larger sukkah. Ukagon de Yotiv Apuma de Metulta. He's sitting on the doorway to the sukkah, B'shulchano B'toch HaBayit. And his table is inside the house. The Beit Shammai, Sabri Gazrin and Shem Yimashaych Achar HaShulchano. We worry about the fact that we may draw on after Shulchan, and therefore we don't allow you to accomplish the mitzvah in this manner. Beit Hillel Sabri Lo Gazrina, and Beit Hillel says we're not going there in such an instance. V'teikanami. And I can prove that from the Mishnah, Nektani. Mishaya Roshov Rubo B'sukah V'Shulchano B'toch HaBayit. One who has his Roshov Rubo in the Sukah and his Shulchan in the house, Beit Shammai Poslim, or Beit Hillel Machshirim. Beit Shammai says it's Pasul, Beit Hillel says it's Kasher. V'im Ito. If that's the case, machzeket veina machzeket mi ba'ilei. In the description of the case, it shouldn't have said someone who is situated in such a position. It should say, does the sukkah hold this amount or doesn't hold this amount? Why is it talking about the shulchan on the outside and the person on the inside? It's trying to give you a scenario, but the scenario is not important if we're talking about the minimum shear of a sukkah. It's either it holds it or it doesn't hold it. That's the way it should be expressed. It. The fact that it doesn't seems to indicate that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing about a sukkah gidola. Tumer says, ube sukkah ktana lo plige? They don't argue about the minimum shear of a sukkah. Batanya. Don't we have a brayta? Machzeket rosho virubo v'shulchano k'shera. If it holds both of his body, his head and his shulchan, then it's kasher. Rabbi Omer, achibe arba amot al arba amot. The minimum shear of a sukkah is 4 by 4 amot, not the 7.5 and 7.5 tefachim that we just mentioned here. Batanya yidoch. We have another brayta. Rabbi Omer kol sukkah shein ba arba amot al arba amot psula. Rabbi Lishit Tado says, if the sukkah doesn't have that minimum shear of 4 by 4 amot, it's psula. Even if it's only holding the robe of his body and his head, that's enough. Filu shulchano loktani. And that second braita doesn't mention the requirement for shulchano. Kashin adodi. Now we have a stira between the braita. Rabbi is consistent, but the position of those that argue on Rabbi is not consistent. Alav shvamina, habet shemai, habet ilal. The answer is that you're right. They aren't consistent because there are 2 opinions about the minimum shear of a sukkah. There's Beit Hillel who says it's Rosho Virubo. And then there's Beit Shammai who says it's Rosho Rubo Vishulchano. And that'll explain the difference between them. But now you see that there is a machloki between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the minimum shear of a sukkah. Amar Mazutra Matnita Namideka. Our mission is also Meduyak. Menikatani Beit Shammai Puslim or Beit Hillel Machshirim. The language used by Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is Kasher and Pasul. Vim Ito, if you're right that it's talking about a case of a sukkah gedola, Beit Shammai Omrim Lo Yatsa. They should say you're not Yotzei, Beit Hillel Omrim Yatsa. You are Yotzei Mibayilei. That's what the language should be used. When you're talking about a larger sukkah, the question is simply, are you Yotzei Mitzvah Sukkah, not Yotzei the Mitzvah Sukkah? So that's the way that it should have been expressed. Beit Shammai should say Lo Yatsa, and Beit Hillel should say Yatsa. The fact that they say kasher and pasul, that seems to be giving a stamp to the sukkah itself. Is the sukkah kasher? Is the sukkah pasul? And that only be true if you're talking about minimum shiurim. And therefore it's also meduyak from that language that it is talking about the minimum shiur and not a sukkah gedola. Felakasho, mishaya. What about the fact, the original proof that was brought here, that they really are arguing about a sukkah gedola? The Gemara brought a proof on behalf of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, from the fact that it was worded in this manner, from the Mishnah that Mishahaya, which seems to be describing the scenario, not the size of the sukkah. Mar says, Olam betarte plige. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue about 2 issues. Plige besukkah katana, plige besukkah gedola. They argue about both the sukkah katana, the minimum shear of a sukkah, as well as sukkah gedola, as well as when you have a large sukkah and the shulchan's on the outside. V'chasurei mechzera. And that Mishnah is missing some words that bring the whole thing together, which is, V'chitane mishaya roshov rubo b'sukkah v'shulchano b'tocha bayit. That's a sukkah gdola. V'chamayim arim lo yatsa. You're not yotze. V'chamayim arim yatsa. V'she'ena machzegat ela g'dei roshov rubo bilvad. If that is the only amount of the size of the sukkah, v'chamayim poslim v'chamayim machshirim. Now the Gemara rereads it that that Mishnah actually has two machlokot in it. One machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai with regards to the minimum shear of a sukkah, which is Rosho Rubo according to Beit Hillel, and Rosho Rubo v'shulchano according to Beit Shammai. And the additional machloka, then in a larger sukkah, if the person's eating Rosho Rubo in the sukkah and his shulchan is outside, Beit Hillel says that's fine and you're yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. Beit Shammai says you're not yotzei. Now this leads to a major halachic discussion about the psach halacha that we had in the beginning of the sugya with regards to the fact that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says halacha ke Beit Shammai. Where is that applicable, or to which of these instances is that applicable? There is a major controversy within the Rishonim with regards to how far we take this. So the question amongst the Rishonim is that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, when he paskins over here, is he paskining like Beit Shammai only with regards to a small sukkah, in regards to the minimum shiur of a sukkah, and therefore the loch is like Beit Shammai, but this has no implications for the other machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? Or when he says aloch ke Beit Shammai, he means in both instances, both here in the smaller sukkah, the minimum shiur for sukkah, but also in a larger sukkah, the loch is like Beit Shammai. So the Rif is the one who says that since the reason for both of them is the same, therefore, the halacha is like Beit Shammai in both instances. Now, that's not so easy to understand because there really are different reasons. The reason over here is that we're trying to discuss what the minimum shiur is of the sukkah. Over there, we're worried about when you're in a larger sukkah, if we allow you to have the table outside, that you're going to be drawn after the table that is outside. But the Rif suggests that since they're for the same reason, the halacha is like Beit Shammai in both of these instances. The Rishonim, coming after the Rif, like the Ran and the Bitavol, try to explain what the Rif meant, and they suggest that the psul here, according to Beit Shammai, is the Rabbanan in both instances. That means Midoraita, they agree with Beit Hillel that the minimum shear of sukkah is Rosho v'Rubo. And the reason that they are posel, the Shulchan, when it's not on the inside, is because maybe you'll be drawn after it. Therefore, they make the minimum shear of a sukkah to be Rosho v'Rubo v'Shulchano, but that's only an imposition, the Rabbanan. And since that's the case here, so too, by the largest sukkah, we worry about the same thing. The difficulty with that is that we find nowhere throughout Shas any other shear for the minimum size of a sukkah besides 7x7 tefachim, which is Rosho Rubo Vishulchano. We don't find any D'oraita minimum shiur that indicate this is the Rabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah, in discussing this position of the Rif, suggests that maybe the Rif believes that the psul here of the minimum shiur is D'oraita, is Minatorah. So then how could he say it's the same reason here as it is by the case of a larger sukkah? He explains the fact that the Torah required that the minimum shiur include Rosho Rubo v'shulchano, it's clear that the Torah is worried about the shulchan being on the outside and wants it on the inside. So based on that, the Rabbonan where goes there in the larger sukkah, if you have the shulchan on the outside, that you are not yotzei and it's no good. So based on that, they suggest that the Rif's position of him being the same means halacha ke Beit Shammai in both of these instances, both with regards to the minimum shiur of a sukkah as well as to a larger sukkah where your shulchan is on the outside, it would not be any good. That is the position of the Rif, as well as the Rambam, who says Aloha is Gebet Shammai in both of these instances. And the Shulchan Aruch, Ke Darko Bekodesh, paskins like the Rif in the Rambam, and says that the Aloha is Gebet Shammai in both of these instances. Tosafot, on the other hand, here on our Amud, says that is not the case. And we have other Rishonim, including the Rosh and the Ran, that also say that the two Dinim are completely separate. They're for two different reasons. In one instance, we're talking about the minimum shiur of a sukkah. And the other case, we're dealing with a din derabonon. And because of that, we paskin like Beit Shammai, like Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says over here, which is, what's the minimum shiur of a sukkah? That's Rosho Rubo v'shulchano. That's one issue. Second issue is whether the Rabbanan goes there when you have your shulchan outside the sukkah, whether you can be drawn after the shulchan. That's a separate din between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Since we don't have any psach halacha, we follow normal, normative practices with Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, we paskin like Beit Hillel. That means halacha here is like Beit Shammai about the minimum shiur of a sukkah, but with regards to having your shulchan outside, that is only a din derabanan because of Shema, and has nothing to do with this machloket, and therefore we're going to paskin like Beit Hillel over there. So therefore here, by the din d'oraita of the minimum shiur of sukkah, we paskin like Beit Shammai. In the issue of whether there's a gezeira derabanan, we paskin like Beit Hillel, that there is no gezeira derabanan. Now, there is a separate question with regards to Beit Shammai's position within a larger sukkah. Beit Shammai says that if you're in a larger sukkah and you have a table outside, that it's pasul. Most read that to mean that it's pasul midrabanan. That's a gzeira derabanan. Tosafot over here is mechadish something that appears in other instances and we can discuss now. Tosafot suggests this in the position of Beit Hillel, but it's possible that he could apply it to the position of Beit Shammai, and he says that when the Rabbanon came along and say that you cannot accomplish a mitzvah in a certain manner, does that mean that that's a gzeira derabanan? And if you did the mitzvah in the way that you're yotzei midoraita, you're yotzei the mitzvah, you just violated the din derabanan. Or did the Rabbanan forfeit your ability to accomplish the mitzvah midoraita whatsoever? And that's what Tosafot suggests over here. When Beit Hillel's machmir over Beit Shammai, they forfeit your ability to do the mitzvah at all deoraita in the lesser fashion. So that's the case over here. In the case of Sukkah, you could suggest in the position of Beit Shammai that they think that if you ate with the Shulchan outside, that the Rabbanan were invalidating your mitzvah completely. You can't accomplish the mitzvah of Sukkah in that way. When Beit Shammai say it's pasul midrabanan, they mean that the Rabbanan were mafkia your right to mekayim this mitzvah midoraita mina Torah. That means that when Beit Shammai says that you sit there in the Sukkah and your Shulchan's on the outside, yes, it's gzeira derabanan, but it's gzeira derabanan that now forfeits your ability to be yotzei the mitzvah of Sukkah whatsoever. If you do the mitzvah of Sukkah in that way, you will not be yotzei according to Beit Shammai. It's completely invalid even mi deoraita. Now, it's interesting because this comes up in other contexts. First of all, there's the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, who in the beginning of Masechet Brachot say that if a person comes and asks us whether he should do Kriyat Shema after midnight, now the Chachamim say that you can't say Kriyat Shema after midnight because they want to protect you from falling asleep and making a mistake. So the Rabbanan made an imposition, a gzeirah, that you can't say Kriyat Shema after Chatzot. But mina Torah, you could say Kriyat Shema after Chatzot and be Yotzei. So now we come and ask, can I go say Kriyat Shema? And they're going to tell you, no, the Rabbanan said you can't do it. So we're now taking away your ability to do a mitzvah de'oraita, even though mid-deoraita you could be Yotzei, and the Rabbanan are only gozer. They're a gozer to take away your right to do a mitzvah, similar to the way they do it in Shofar, on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbat. They say, do a shev ve'al taseh, and you cannot accomplish the mitzvah, despite the fact that midoraita you could. Many want to conclude from that to Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah that not only do we tell him not to, but if you go ahead and do it, you're not yotzei the mitzvah deoraita. It's completely invalidated. The Rabbanan take away your ability to accomplish the mitzvah deoraita. And that's what Tosafot is suggesting over here as well. There's another place where we find a similar type of opinion, and that is in the Primi Godim. In his Peticha Kolelet, Chelek Gimel, Od Zayin, discusses exactly this issue. That when you have something that the Rabbanan goes there, does that take away your ability to do a doraita? He, for instance, gives an example of a case that's going to come up later on the Masechta, which is that you're not allowed to use beams or boards for yischach. Now, truthfully, midoraita, they are totally valid for schach. Chachamim didn't want you to use it for schach because of the risk that you'll make it into a permanent gag. It'll look like a roof, and then you'll make it into a roof. So because of that, they were goes there not to be able to do that. He wants to know, what happens if you only have boards, and that's the only sukkah you can sit in? Is sitting in that sukkah have any value? Midoraita, it's a kosher sukkah. She's sitting in that sukkah. Or, once the Rabbanan goes there, it takes away your ability to accomplish the mitzvah doraita. Or by any other psul schach, that is midorabanan, what is the din? If you only have that psul schach, can you sit in such a sukkah and accomplish the mitzvah? Or were the Rabbanan mafkir your right to accomplish the mitzvah whatsoever? So this is a fundamental question when the Rabbanan goes there against mitzvah doraita. What happens to that mitzvah doraita? Do they eliminate it entirely, or is it still there? And you can bring another example of that is, for instance, by Kiddush on Friday night, where you Rabbanan say you have to do Kiddush b'makom suda. Does that mean now that if you make Kiddush shelo b'makom suda, you're not accomplishing the mitzvah doraita of Kiddush, which doesn't require suda? Or do we say, no, there are two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah doraita of Kiddush, and there's a mitzvah derabanan of Kiddush b'makom suda. If you say Kiddush shelo b'makom suda, you didn't accomplish the din derabanan, but you did accomplish the din doraita. So this question will appear in many facets of halacha, but it's brought up here by the Tosafot, by the Tevein Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachot, as well as Primi Gadim in the Ticha Kolelet, Orach Chaim in Chelek Gimel. So now the Gemara continues. Matan al hadatan Rabbanan, bayit shein bo arba amot al arba amot, a house that doesn't have a 4x4 amot in it, but urmi mezuzah, doesn't require mezuzah. Umin amakeh, does not require its roof to have a fence around it. They had flat roofs in their day, and you would have to put a fence around it so nobody could fall off. If it's less than 4x4 amot, you don't have to do that. Ve'enu mitameh min nigayim. It doesn't qualify for tumat nigei habayit because it's not classified as a bayit. Ve'enu nechlat bebatei erei chuma. That if you sell it in a walled city, a house that is sold in a walled city, you have 1 year to buy back the house. If you don't buy it back within that 1 year, it's sold forever. It's permanently sold to the buyer. So that is true only if the house qualifies as a house. If it's not a house, and then it has the regular rules of land, which is actually it's redeemable forever. There's no 1 year cap, and it will go back during the yovel. And that, the Gemara says here, if the house is less than 4x4 amot, it's no different than the land in a walled city, because it's not classified as a house. Vein chozrim alav mi'orchei milchama. Someone who's bana bayit chadash gets a dispensation to leave the army and to return home. That's one of the three items that are mentioned there in the Pesukim of people are allowed to return mi'orchei milchama. Zmisha bana bayit chadash. Well, it's only a bayit if it's 4x4 amot. Ve'im arvin bo, ve'im mishatfin bo. Ve'im arvin bo, ve'im mishatfin bo. If there's such a house inside of a large chatzer, it does not have to join the Eruv Chatzerot. And if a house with a courtyard is found in such an Mavui, it doesn't have to join into the Shituf Mivvot. Ve'im minichim bo Eruv. If you collected the Eruv from all the participants and you place it in one of the houses, if it's placed in this house, that's not a good location. It does not qualify as an Eruv because it's not Chayav to start with, but it's not considered a house to be in one of them. Ve'inosim oto ibur ben shtei ayarot. And you cannot make it a bridge between two cities, which we'll come back to and discuss a little later. Ve'in achim v'shutafim cholkim bo. And brothers and partners that own such a small house, they do not divide it up. Again, the Gemara will come back and discuss this. It's going to discuss all these cases. But what you see here from this Braita is that everything in this Braita says that to be classified as a house, the minimum standard is 4x4 amot. So who is the author of that position? Lema Rabihi. Then we just see that Rabbi says the minimum shear for sukkah is 4x4 amot. To be considered livable space, Rabbi says the minimum shear is 4x4 amot. Not the 7.5x7.5 tvachim that is mentioned by Beit Shammai and even a smaller space by Beit Hillel. So it seems like Rabbi is the author of this position. It must be Rabbi, velo Rabbanon and not the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, no, afilu teima Rabbanon. Even the Rabbanon could explain it this way. Adhan lo kamei Rabbanon ota melin yan sukkah. The Rabbanon only went to say that by sukkah de dirat arayhi. Because it's a temporary dwelling of Adagabe Bayit, the Dirat Kevahu. The difference between a sukkah. Sukkah is a temporary dwelling place. So therefore, you have a smaller shi'ur in order to keep something as a temporary dwelling place. But if you want to qualify as a bayit, as a house, as a permanent place of residence, that they agree with Rabbi that you need that minimum shi'ur of dalit bay dalit amot. I feel rabbanon modu did bay dalit amot. Dari beinche, lo lo dari beinche. It's got the minimum of 4x4 amot. People would live in such a space. Otherwise, people would not live in such a space. So when it comes to establishing the minimum shiur of a permanent residence, that is a minimum of dalet al dalet amot. Talking about temporary residence, that's a different standard, and that's why they argue with Rabbi with regards to sukkah. But they could agree over here, and therefore you don't have any evidence that this braita is following the position of Rabbi and not that of the Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is going to go back and discuss each one of these issues as to why we have a minimum shiur of dalet al dalet amot. So now Gemara says, Amramar, patur mina mizuza, mina make, vein mitame begayim, vein nechlat barate arechoma, vein chozim alav miyorchei milchama. My taima. Why of all of these things require a minimum shiur of dalet al dalet amot? Because the bayit ketiv behu bekulhu. All of these items in the Pesukim in the Torah that mention these items all have the word bayit mentioned by them. For instance, al mizuzot beitecha, beitecha. Mizuza goes on a bayit. The minimum shiur of a bayit is dalet al dalet amot. Ki divne bayit chadash vasita makeh legagecha. When you build a new house, you have to put a fence around the roof. And then when it talks about negaim, it says, uva asher lo habayit comes to the Kohen to discuss the nega. Talk about a bayit. Or, Kimkor Beit Moshav, that's talking about Batei Arei Choma, the houses inside of a walled city, it calls them a bayit. Or the people that return from the Ochei Melchama says, Asher Bana Bayit Chadash, someone to build a new house can return from the Ochei Melchama. So in each of these instances, the Torah uses the word bayit, and we've established that the minimum shiur for a bayit is 4x4 amot, and therefore in all of these instances, we require 4x4 amot before your chayav, or before you have a tour based on the bayit. Now, what about the other items here? Ve'en ma'arvin bo, ve'en mishtatfin bo, ve'en minichin bo eruv. Three things. One is, it's not required to become part of an eruv. It's not required to become part of the shituf mivot. Ve'en minichin bo eruv. And you don't place the eruv in there. Now, as you remember from Masechet Eruvin, when you have multiple houses around a single chatzer, over there we don't allow you to carry from the houses into the chatzer because Chachamim were worried that if you carry from private property into an area that is joint property, then a person might think, well, just like I can carry from my house into the chatzer, I can carry out to Reshut Rabim. What's the difference if I go from private property to multiple owned property? And what's the difference if I go from my house to Reshut Rabim? So in order to prevent that, they instituted Eruvei Chatzerot, which says that all the houses come together in the chatzer and they join together in a single meal to make it as if they are all one unit. And by doing that, we allow them now to make the chatzer like it's one unit and the houses are one unit. And therefore, you can carry back and forth from the houses to the chatzer because that heker will remind people that this is different than Reshut HaRabim because of their joint ownership of the meal. In addition, if you have houses around a courtyard, and then multiple of these courtyards that have houses around them open up into a mavoi. As we describe, it's like a cul-de-sac that has chatzerot, courtyards off of it, and one side of that cul-de-sac opens into Reshut HaRabim. Again, over there, we're worried about the fact that if you can carry in the mavoi, you might also just carry in the Reshut HaRabim. What's the difference between carrying the mavoi versus carrying in the Reshut HaRabim? They're all multiple ownerships here. The obvious difference is, it's difference between ownership by a number of individuals versus public domain, but people won't see that difference, and they'll carry from one to the other. So therefore, we acquired shituf mivaot, which is that all the courtyards have to get together and join together, like the way they do it with the Eruv for the Chatzerot. There are different rules, as we learned in the Gemara and Eruvin, about what can be used for the Eruv versus what can be used for the shituf. But we get together, and they place it in one of the courtyards that surrounds the mavoi. And that allows you to carry from the courtyards into the mavoi. So Gemara says here, if you have an area that's less than dal by dal amot, if it didn't contribute to the Eruv, or didn't contribute to the shituf mavot, it doesn't cause a problem. And not only that, it's not obligated to contribute because it's not considered to be a house. In addition to that, if a chatzer wants to put the Eruv in one of the houses, if it puts it into this house, it doesn't qualify because it's not a house. Therefore, they can't place the Eruv there jointly for the entire chatzer. My time, huh? So what's the reason that in all these cases it doesn't join in or it's not problematic for the Eruv or the Shituf? Because lo chazer de dira, it's not a livable residence, and therefore it doesn't qualify. Eruvei chatzerot, eminichim bo, aval shituf minichim bo. Where it says, that's true by the Eruv chatzerot that you can't place it in, but the Shituf mivot you can place it in. You see that in the diuk out of the Braita. The Braita only says you can't place an Eruv chatzerot in there, but you could place a Shituf mivot in there. My time, huh? What's the reason? It's no worse than the chatzer and the mavoi. We said before, the shituf mivot can be placed in the chatzer. So when you place the shituf mivot in the chatzer for all of the chatzerot surrounding the mavoi, that shituf mivot is just sitting in a place that's what we call mishtamer. It's guarded because it has a wall around it. It's inside of a courtyard. But it's not inside of a residence. And so this house that's less than 4x4 amot is no worse than the courtyard. It's just like the courtyard. It's shamur. And it's not a residence, and it should qualify to be as good as the chatzer. And that's what the Gemara says. If you place it into this house, it won't work for Eruv Chatzerot, where you have to place the Eruv inside of a house. But in terms of the Shituf Mavot that only has to be placed in one of the courtyards and the chatzer, that'll be fine. This house that's less than 4x4 amot is no worse than the chatzer. It's none. We have a Mishnah in Eruvin that says, Eruvei Chatzerot bechatzer. The Eruv Chatzerot gets placed in the chatzer. Shituf Mavoi bemavoi. The Shituf Mavot gets placed in the mavoi. Vavinamba. Does that make any sense? If Eruv Chatzerot bechatzer, you can place Eruv Chatzerot in the courtyard itself. That's not. And Otein Eruvo beBeit Shaar Achsadro Umirpeset Einu Eruv. You place your Eruv inside of the Beit Shaar, which is the guardhouse at the front gateway to the courtyard. It's not a livable space. It's a place where the guard sits. Achsadro, or a porch or portico that's in front of the house, or Mirpeset, which is a upper level where the people who live on the second floor of all the houses has a balcony that runs in front of them that gives them access to their houses. If you place it in any of those locations, ain't no way roof. It doesn't work. Vadarsham ain't no aser. And anybody lives, if you live in the guardhouse, or you live in the achsad, or you live in the mirpesa, they're not considered to be real residences. If you live there, you don't affect the eruv. You don't ruin the eruv for anybody. So obviously, putting it on the chatzer is going to be no better than any of these places. At least have walls around them. At least have some sort of enclosure. Put in the chatzer, you're saying it's going to work, and then you tell me in these locations it doesn't work? Ella, Ema, you have to reread the Mishnah this way. Eruvei chatzerot, bebayit shebechatzer. The Eruv chatzerot has to be placed in one of the houses that opens up into the chatzer. Shitufei mivot. The shituf mivot, it has to be placed in one of the chatzerot that opens up into the mavoi. So you can't place it in a house that's not in this courtyard for the Eruv chatzerot. You can't place it in a chatzer that doesn't open up to this mavoi, but there is a difference. Eruv chatzerot goes into the house that opens up into the courtyard. Shituf mivot was in one of the chatzerot, and that's exactly what we just said here. The difference between why you cannot place an eruv chatzerot into a house that's less than 4x4 amot, because it doesn't qualify as a bayit. Whereas for shituf mivot, which can be placed into the chatzer, v'haylo gara michatzer shebemavoi, and that's exactly what the Gemara says. This less than 4x4 amot residence is no better or worse than a chatzer, and therefore you can put the shituf mivot into it. Now it happens to be interesting, not here, but in the Gemara in Eruvin is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot as to how literally do we take this. As far as the Eruv Chatzerot, it's clear it has to be put in a house. And the Gemara here says that the Shitur Mevo'ot can be placed in the Chatzer. Does that mean that it can be placed in the Chatzer as well as the Bayit? And they just give you a dispensation to say also the Chatzer is good? Or does it have to be Dafka in the Chatzer and not in the Bayit? Because just like the Bayit is the Batim, and the houses are the what surround the Chatzer, and therefore we want you to make one of the houses the joint place, a residence of everyone. So therefore you put it in the Bayit. So too by the Shittuv Mevo'ot, we want you to put it in one of the Chatzerot, because the Chatzerot as a whole are what cause a problem for the Mavoi. So you want you to put it into the one Chatzer to make it as if all the Chatzerot are joined in this one Chatzer. Or maybe putting it in the Bayit is no worse. It just has to be in a location that adjoins the Mavoi. Putting in the house that enters into the Chatzer, that enters into the Mavoi will be good. So that's a machloket Rashi and Tosafot in the Gemara in Eruvin, about how literally we take this statement of the Gemara. Now the Gemara moves on to the next item, which was, you can't make it as something that joins between two cities. Now this goes back to Hilchot Eruvin. When it comes to Eruvin, a city is considered to be Dalet Amot. Anything in that city for Eruvei Tchumin, or with regards to Tchum, the whole city is considered to be Dalet Amot. If you reside in the city, you can walk that entire city all of Shabbat, no matter how big it is, because it's all considered to be Dalet Amot. And then, if you want to walk outside of the city, then you get 2,000 amot from wherever the end of the city is in any direction. You can go 2,000 amot, because the city for you is considered to be Dalet Amot. Now, the Gemara there discusses something called the Iburashel Ir. The Iburashel Ir is the, as Rashi says, the pregnancy of the city. It means the places that protrude out of the city. And the Iburashel Ir is that outside of the city, we grant the city a certain area that is considered to be the space of the city, which is called a Karpaf. And that karpaf is 70 and 2/3 amot. So you're allowed outside of the city. Once you exit the city, you still not have not entered in to start counting your 2,000 amot for tchum until you pass the first 70 and 2/3 amot. Only from that place and beyond do you start counting tchum Shabbat. Now the Gemara discusses you have two cities that are close to each other. They're not exactly attached to each other. But between the two cities, it's less than 141 and a third amot. Meaning that their karpafiot, their areas, the airspace or land that we give the city outside that still belong to the district of the city, to the perimeter of the city. If those perimeters overlap, then the cities are considered to be one. And when they're considered to be one, it means that if you walk from one city to the other, it's still like you walked Dalet Amot. It's only if the two cities have that karpaf, that 70 and 2/3 Amot, overlap between them. So that means if you add 70 and 2/3 and 70 and 2/3, you get to a 141 and a third Amot. As long as the cities are closer to each other than 141 and a third amot, the two cities are considered to be one with regards to Tchumin, and you only start counting your 2,000 amot from outside of either city. If you walk to the other city, you're still within your Dalet Amot. If you want to go beyond that city, then you start counting your 2,000 amot. So there the Gemara says that if you have something that sits, a house that sits between the two cities, each city is 70 and 2/3 amot away from it is a house. That house, if it sits right between the two areas, can join the two cities together if it's right at the perimeter of that delineating line of 70 and 2/3 for each side, because it joins the two cities together. So the Gemara says over here that this house cannot function in that way because it's not a house. It's less than Dalet and Dalet amot. Now the Gemara asks, wait a minute, is that really true? Is that really true? You can't make it to be the joining factor between two cities. You don't say that this house has the same status as these huts that are made out of reeds or out of straw. And about the burganim, about these huts, we say that they do join the city. So a little hut is enough to join two cities together. How come this house, it's less than 4x4 amot, but it should be no worse than a little hut in the field. So why can't it join the cities together? So the Gemara says, no, there's a big difference between these items. Because when it comes to the burganim, they were built as huts for temporary dwelling, when the people are either harvesting the fields or they are guarding the fields, and they function in that way. What they're made for, they function for. But this is a bayit. This was built to be a house, and it doesn't reach the minimum standards of a house. Therefore, it's nothing. It's not a house, but it's also not a burgan because it wasn't built for that purpose. And so therefore, when it comes to the burganim that are chazin miltayu, they function like the way they were made, and therefore they can join the cities together. V'hai de lo chazin miltay. But here, this house has no function. It's not a residence, and that's what it was built to be. Now, Tosafot over here has a large discussion as to whether this is really only relevant between two cities, or even for one city. If you have burganim, if you leave many of these huts out of a city, it actually extends the city for many miles. You can extend the city as long as there are huts or there's dwellings that are beyond the city. So Tosafot says that this halacha could even apply to one city and extending that single city. But the way the Gemara phrases here is between two cities, and he discusses why the Gemara focuses on that case and not the case where you're extending the area of a single city. Now, the last case that we had in the Braita, which is Bein Achim Vashutavim Chokim Bo. They don't divide it up. Time of delay Beidala the Amot. That's because it doesn't have four Amot. Hayid Beidala Amot Chokim. If it had four and Amot in it, you would split it. Vatanan. Ein Chokim Et Achatzer Achei Ba Arba Amot Lezeh Varba Amot Lezeh. You're not allowed to divide up a courtyard until there's enough for four Amot for each individual in the Chatzer. Ella Ema, the way it should read in the Braita is Ein Bo Din Chaluka Kechatzer. It doesn't have the din to be split just like a Chatzer. Or the other gear says Bechatzer. There's no din of Chaluka. There's no division in the chatzer based on this residence. That if you have two joint owners or two brothers that own houses around the chatzer and now they want to split up the chatzer. One brother has a house that has three doors coming into the chatzer and one has a house that has one door coming into the chatzer. Then what Rav Huna suggests is you divide up the chatzer in this way. The person with three doors gets three quarters of the chatzer. The person with one door gets one quarter of the chatzer, and that's how you divide it up. The number of doors that you have entering into the chatzer determines what percentage of the chatzer you get. Percentage of doors that you have amongst the total doors that open to the chatzer, that's how much you get. On the other hand, Rav Chista Amar Noten L'chol Petach U'Petach Arma Amot. Each doorway gets its own four amot for loading, unloading, for items in front of the doorway, for their personal space. The remainder of the chazer you divide evenly. So the doorways do give you a benefit, but that's immediately opposite the doorways. They don't give a benefit in the entire chazer, just in front of them. The remainder of the chazer, that's beyond the 4x4 amot in front of each doorway, that is split evenly between the two parties. And so now what we're suggesting over here is, Dani mile bayit mahave kai. That's only true if it's a real house. A doorway to a real house, to a real residence, that gains you that benefit. According to Rav Huna, as a percentage of the chazer, according to Rav Chista, gives you the Dal Adamot in front of the doorway, because it's going to be a permanent residence, and it's going to stay there. So therefore, Yevinan Lei Chatzer. We give him a portion of the Chatzer. Haidu L'Mistar Kai, something that's less than a 4x4 Amot, is basically standing to be destroyed. It's there to be eliminated, because it's not going to function as a residence, and they're going to end up taking it down, or it's not going to be a residence. And therefore, Lei Yevinan Lei Chatzer, and therefore we don't give him any of the benefits in the Chatzer, as if he has a doorway into the Chatzer. Okay, we'll stop over here.